If you would, this morning, go ahead and open your Bibles.
Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you about faith and some things that faith does produce. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God this morning, kind of stretch our legs. And number verse 1, it says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, things which are seen are not made with things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him. It says, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. We ask you this morning, Lord, to, Father, to challenge our hearts and help us to think about our faith and how we need to grow, or how we need to start applying our faith in our life, Father. God, how we look at your word, we see truths, Lord, but we're not applying these truths. And God, help us to grow, Father, and help us to believe that you are a great God, and without faith it's impossible to please you, Lord. Help us to grow our faith to be pleasing to you, Father. And Lord, if someone this morning is not saved, I pray you deal with their hearts and help them see the need of salvation, Lord. And Lord, only you can convict, only you can draw. So it is not my preaching that does much, Father, but it's you, Father. The word goes out and it challenges the hearts. Now, Father, help us all to hear some things, maybe to comfort our hearts or encourage our hearts, Lord God, or challenge our hearts or convict our hearts some things that we need to do. But Lord, this morning I pray that you receive honor and glory in everything we do this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, faith is something that, you know, it needs to be exercised. Without faith, you know, we wouldn't really have eternal life. And eternal life is really depends on faith. You know, by grace you're saved through faith. And Mark 16:16 said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, he shall be damned." Listen, our faith and believing what He's done, and my faith in what I realized that I was lost, I was undone, and by the Word of God, and seeing that faith in the person of Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, shed His blood for me, and listen, I saw it, and I put my faith and trust in Him, I called upon Him, and He changed my life, and then after that, the step of obedience, I got baptized, I started reading my Bible, started going to church, and listen, those faith is evidence of things that I really did believe, and He changed my life, and without faith is one of the most important things. It starts out with faith, and life ends with faith in Him. One day I don't have to worry about seeing what He's going to look like. I'm going to get to see the face of Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about what heaven's going to look like. I'm going to get to see heaven one day. And listen, I don't have to worry about if I ever get to see some of my family that I love. I know in Christ, I will get to see them. And it's just, listen, faith is important. But faith today, my problem is my life is faith. Problem in your life is faith. Faith does grow and it does affect us. The few questions I just want to ask you this morning is that, can we feel faith? And the answer is no. It's substance of things hoped for. It's ground. It's confidence. It's the person of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it tells us that is that faith, that substance. Listen, can we see faith? No, it's evidence of things not seen. And you know, we saw Noah, he didn't see the things yet, but he was moved with fear, and then he trusted God. And can you smell faith? Well, no, you don't smell faith, but can you exercise faith? And the answer is, you do exercise faith. We do it every day in our lives as a Christian. We apply those faith. Sometimes we don't use it, but we should use it more in our life. Faith is important. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I mean, really think about it. If I want to please God, and I mean, that's the only way I know how to please God is have faith and trust and do what He tells me to do. I mean, listen, when I was talking about, who was I talking about this week or this past weeks about Peter walking on water? And listen, I mean, Peter walked on it, and I believe it put a smile on his face, and that boy's trusting me, and he's doing something miraculously because he said, "Bid me, and I'll do it, Lord." God's bidding us do great, mighty things for Him. Listen, there's a mission impossible. I'm going to pray and preach a message on mission impossible about faith promise. Because we're supposed to reach the whole world, this church here. We do. It ain't Central Baptist Church responsibility. It's our responsibility, mandated by God to us. And this faith is important. The question is, what does faith, does it speak? When I speak of faith, what does it produce in our life? This morning, I just want to talk to you a little bit. We're going to look at some different scriptures. What does faith produce? Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a book about David fighting Goliath, and it's when he comes on the scene and he goes visit his brothers. In verse 51, 17 verse 51, he stands there and he fights Goliath, and he says here, "Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And men of the Israel and all," it says, "and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and unto the gates of Ekron. And when he wounded the Philistines, fell down by the way of Shaarim, and even unto Gath and to Ekron." Here I want you to notice that faith produces followers. Think about it. It really does produce followers. In verse 10, the same chapter here, verse 10, you see the nation of Israel's status here, condition. When Saul and all Israel heard these words, the Philistine was defying Israel. And he says, "Bring me a man out, and we know the story, and I'll fight him, and we'll serve you. If we win, you serve us." And he stands there, and he says, Philistines were dismayed, and it said, greatly afraid. Listen, they were greatly afraid. Verse 24, it says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," it said, "fled from him," and were sore afraid. Listen, faith, listen, can produce followers, but unbelief can produce, I won't say cowards, but it produces hindrance. It stops us from being effective for God. You know why people don't go faith? Why don't people give faith promise? They pray don't believe that God really will provide. Listen, why they don't go soul winning? Because maybe they don't believe that God will use them to reach people. Listen, why people don't pray is because they really don't think God will answer their prayer. They know God answered prayer, but will God answer this prayer? They don't get on their knees and beg God, say, "I need this need, and if you don't take it away and you want me to keep it, then I'll be thankful, and you'll give me the grace and sufficiency to deal with it." Listen. Unbelief hinders us. This stopped men being affected. They doubted. This is what catches me. Look at verse 25. "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will" what? "Enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his house" — this is his father's house — "free in Israel." Listen, you get rich, you get fame, and your daddy, it takes care of your whole family. All you have to do is kill this giant, and nobody would do it. Unbelief. Unbelief stopped them. And David, listen, he stood up and he rose, and listen, faith makes produce followers. For 40 days, in verse 16, it says, "Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself." 40 days speaks of trials and testing. For 40 days, God allowed them to be tested. Will they stand up and believe that God will provide? God would overcome them. God brought them out of Egypt. God fed them water out of a rock. God brought birds that fed everybody and made them sick to their throat eating birds. Listen, God can do anything, and they're afraid of one man. Well, who's our giant? It's another message, ain't it? Listen, faith produced followers, folks. Unbelief stops us. Faith, David said, he stood up. And Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, folks. Listen, the just shall live by faith. David stood up and he said, I will do it. And look at verse 34. Verse 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out, look, I went out after him. And he said, I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Listen, he went out by the God worked in his life. Listen, that lion, that bear was preparing him for Goliath. Listen, Goliath was preparing David for Saul. And Saul was preparing David for those, 10 years chasing after him for the kingdom. Listen, David went after it. He believed God was going to provide. He believed God would help him overcome. God moved him. Listen, there's a great crowd, and they were watching David. They were seeing what he's going to do. And remember, they put armor on him. He said, I haven't proved it. And he said, let me go. And he goes with what? He goes with machine gun, automatic bazooka to go after him, don't he? What he goes with? A sling and a rock. I don't know. That scares me. I want a machine gun. I want that big old bazooka. I wouldn't go in there like you with all those people in there with a stick. I want something better. I want 10 big men like Brother Artis and Brother Benny. Somebody up behind me and say, yeah, mess with me and see what happens. He went with a sling. Listen, folks, the crowd was watching. David's faith was action. He trusted God. And he said, God provide. And God delivered David. In verse 50, it says here in chapter 17, verse 50 again, and David says, here it says, so David prevailed over the Philistine in sling with a stone and smote the Philistine, slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. All he had was a sling and a stone. He overcame. But faith moved in the men with Israel, saw what happened, and they rose and followed. Listen, they couldn't do nothing for 40 days. They were afraid. And when they saw David overcome them, they got up and said, I'm going to do something. You know, people are watching our lives. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I'm of Christ. You know, the thing is, people are not going to follow us go soul winning if we don't go soul winning. People are not going to follow us being praying if we don't pray. People are not going to see, hey, prayer's answered if you don't pray. People are going to follow and see what's taking place. A lot of times we're defeated. And people sitting back. I mean, he could have been... Any man could fault this giant. He married a princess. He would have great wealth. His family's taken care of for the rest of his life. People do a lot of things for money. But money ain't going to move a man to do follow God, is it? You got to do it for him, folks. And it makes a difference. People see the difference in that. Listen, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Listen, there's a new change in life. David believed God. He saw what God did. And it moved people. It moved him. It affected others. Look with me in Romans. Give me an example here. Book of John, chapter 4. Remember the Samaritan woman where she's at the well and Jesus comes by and he meets her and talks to her about herself and says, you know, I know you have 5 husbands and the one you're shacked up with is not yours. And he's talking to her and she sees the need. And listen, verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the who? The woman. Believing on the saying of the woman, which testifieth, he told me at all that I ever did. Listen, all she did is started telling others what Christ did in her life. It changed her life. She became a new creature, and many believed on her. Many followed Jesus Christ because of her testimony. Her faith in what God said. They saw her, what she was. They saw the change, and you know what God sees? People see you, and they see the change in your life, what you used to be, and what God's done. Listen, they'll see it, but they don't see a difference in your life. Why are they going to follow Jesus Christ? There's a new creature and it should change. And listen, when people see it, makes a difference. But not everybody got saved. In verse 41 says, many more believe. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would not that he would tarry with them and abide there for 2 days. He said, no, don't leave Christ, stay here. They want to listen to teaching. And for 2 days they stood around and said, many more believed because of his own word. But the thing is, she had effect on that. They saw it was enough to change her life. Maybe I need to listen a little bit more to what this guy's saying. You know what? I can give my testimony and see people see my life. I go to church. I go soul winning. I go prayer meetings. And I try to live my life for God. I'm sold out for God as much as I possibly can. Day by day, faith to faith, I try to add my faith to God. People see a difference. But you know what? They may not get saved. But they may come and say there's a difference in that guy's life or that woman's life. And I'm going to go there and kind of bother there for a while and see what the difference is. And by hearing the preaching of the Word of God, their lives change. About an old Samaritan young lady that was valuable, nothing. They call them dogs and changed all those people. Makes a difference. Her testimony made a difference. The Word of God made a difference. Listen, church, the faith of God's Word makes it reaches out and it changes people's lives. People will follow. People see the Word of God. It makes a difference. Faith produces followers. Listen, faith promise, listen, it's important, but nobody's going to follow faith. They don't see a difference in your life and you really believe it. Do you really believe that faith promise is important? Do you believe soul winning is important? Do you really believe Bible reading is important? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is important? And I asked the Sunday school this morning, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you really believe it? If you really believe it, you would want to tell others and you desire for others to get it. Listen, it's kind of, you know, ladies can sit around the house and have a cup of tea and for the friends and to brag about Jesus Christ, what He's done for their life. Not being boastful, it's just talking about the goodness of God and people see a difference. They say, you know, maybe they didn't want to get saved that day, but they say, you know what, let me go to that church where you're going to and hear the preaching because I need something. And they don't know what they need. But we know what they need. But many change. What does faith produce? It produces followers. Well, also, what does it produce? Look with me in Malachi. Turn back with me a couple of pages. You get Matthew. You go one more book behind it. Matthew. You got Malachi and Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. It says, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from my ordinances. It says, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, where shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even to this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me not herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke what? The devourer for your sakes. And he shall not devour the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the fields, saith the Lord of hosts. And it says, and all nations shall call upon the blessed. And ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you what, finances. Our faith does produce our finances. Listen, by faith we see that paying our tithes and offering God blesses us. You know, we can see the results. I've learned from my past life that I don't tithe, God's going to take it one way or another. I mean, people say, take your tithes. Listen, God gets what is His. And He takes what's His. I believe tithes was speaking back when Genesis, He's in the Garden of Eden. He said, that right there, that tree is mine, and don't touch it. That's mine. That's His. I give you everything but that one thing, that 10%. That's mine. That's the principle of tithing. But let me tell you this, though. We cannot outgive God. You cannot overabundance of God. It reminds me of a picture of a young boy get a little sand shovel, and he's shoveling sand out from a hole, and Daddy's helping him. He's going to say, look, every time you shovel a sand, I'm going to shovel. But Daddy's shovel is always bigger than the boy's, isn't it? He always fills in more. The Bible said, give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure it meets, shall be measured to you again. You can never, ever outgive God. This is my faith in my finances. It says, look, God, this is yours. This is yours. You give me what you want to give me. You pay me so much a week. And this is yours. Now what do you want? Now you want me to give that 10% this year. This is what it is. Now what, God, the other 90%, what do you want? It's His. Listen, Mark 9:41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because it says ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Listen, you can never outgive. You're not going to lose your reward from giving to God. Tell me one person you ever seen that they went broke and hungry and starving because they gave to God. David man that loved the Lord said, you know what? I live in cedar houses. I live in this beautiful palace. And my God in the ark lives in tents. I want to build a house for my God. And God said, no. But you know, God, he desired to build a house for God. And God said, you know what? I ain't going to let you build a house for me, but your house will endure forever. He gave him that promise in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. God always outgives us, folks. Listen, faith is always our faith does produce our finances. You say, well, I need a vehicle. I need this. Go to God. And say, God, what do you want me to have? And listen, this is yours. And listen, God always provides. He knows what you need. This is yours, God. And listen, the money you got. And you say, well, I'm a smart guy. Who made you smart? The job you got, who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to do the job? There's too many people out here, too smart, that got jobs that we could have done, that they could have done. God, listen, we need to realize that it's all God's, and God doesn't need our money. Listen, it's like saying, God, here's some gold I found, and do you want some? I made it, he said. God, I got some wisdom. He says, I gave it to you. He knows you need food. He knows you need your basic. But you know what? He knows you need to give to the mission building. He knows that building needs to be out there. He said, I could build that building. I can put it together just like that. But he said, I don't want to do it. I want you to see I can do it through you. He says, I've given you a command to reach the world. And he said, I know if the world don't get reached, they die and go to the devil's hell. I die for them. He says, I want them to have it. But he says, you know what? I give you an opportunity to give. To be a part. To see the need. Psalms 116:12 says, what shall render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What can I return unto God what he's given me? What can you give back to what God has given you? Well, let me ask you this. What can I repay for all the things he's done? What can I really give back? I always picture that little boy with a little sand shovel shoveling, and daddy's shovel's always much bigger, pouring it right back in the hole. You give a little bit, God's going to give more. It's not prosperity giving, folks. It is talking about giving, holding God, and letting God work through you. Listen, if I said, I don't have, you got any money? Yeah, of course you don't have no money. Got any money? Give me some money. Give me the money. Give me, you got a dollar bill? Got a five. Give me a five. $5 bill. He gave to me. It's mine. Can I get any more money in my hand? How can I get more money in my hand?
If someone gave it to you.
My hand's closed, isn't it? It's open. I need some more money. I'll give it back to you. My hand's open. To be able to take. Don't worry. God will bless you, and I'll take care of you, brother. What am I teaching? My hand's tight. I can't give, and God can't give in my hand. But my hand's open, saying, God, you give. I need it. To give, to help the need. It's able to get more. That's not prosperity giving. The prosperity giving teaching is to get me, and I keep me in mind, mine. Yeah. It's giving to others. That's given beyond your ability. I need God, and God provides. Listen, faith does produce finances. Faith does produce more. Take care of you. Let me tell you what else that faith produces. It produces faithfulness. We'll go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Listen, if I want to please God, I got to be willing to give my life and say I trust him. That's the only way I can please him, by faith. If not trusting God, I'm not pleasing God, folks. Faith does produce faithfulness. That's what it does. It produces more faithfulness. You know, our church attendance, we think it's important, but some don't really value important. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, you see not just a duty, but a sacredness of going. But if I don't obey that, you see the disobedience and not pleasing God. You see the blame shifted on me because I'm not pleasing, because I'm forsaking what He wants me to do. If I see the day approaching, I see the world's getting bad, and think about it, when he wrote this, I believe Paul wrote it. Listen, he's writing to the 12 trials about what is this, 2,000 years ago? I don't know how many years ago. 2,000 years ago, he writes this. And he sees the day approaching. He sees the times coming. How much more do you see the day coming today? Since I've been here, I heard many of you say, well, you know the Lord's coming. I see the signs. I see it. But we forsake it. Our faith, we know, but we don't really. Listen, it really should be on our knees and say, you know, Lord, if you come and so-and-so haven't got saved, you know, my brother or my sister, they don't get saved. God, you know, they've heard and they won't believe. Save them. There's a challenge, and you say, well, I'll get saved after rapture. He said, look, you've heard the truth. You know the truth. And you said, you know what? You say no today after I come. He said, I ain't going to mess with you. I'll let you believe a lie. Listen, faith does produce faithfulness, folks. It challenges our heart. How can I expect to grow if I don't exhort one another? How can I expect to grow if I don't pray for one another? I'm telling you, I really got a blessing. I mean, I don't know what we was praying about. We pray for you. We pray for the church. But I can't remember it. But it was just the goodness. And it's like I can almost see myself at the throne of God. I could listen to Brother Dale. I could bring Brother King and Brother Abag and Brother Scott. And I was just enjoying. And those two boys, it was just like we're in the presence of God. It was boldness because we really expect God to do that. It was good. My faith increased. My faith was increasing because it put a smile on Jesus' face, I believe. Listen, faith when that's bringing the church, then it brings our calling. You know, I fulfill a great commission. Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. Is it a command for us to go in the world? Listen, if I really believe that, then I got to get involved in soul winning. I got to get involved in prayer. I got to get involved in giving. I got to get involved in church and serving so others can get saved. I got to get involved. How about discipleship? People need to be encouraged to one another. You know, being faithful is a servant and helps one another. It really does. Somebody spent time with your life and helped you where you're at. Brother Benny and I think Miss Joyce, they're working in school and all that. But somebody took time and worked in their life to help them to get where they're at. And they learned and experienced and see what God did. I saw Miss Joyce standing there with Miss Katie. Is your daughter Katie? Katie? She was just like this and talking to her. And I said, oh, I know what's going on. I've been in that little girl's shoes. Teacher's talking. She was just probably getting on to her a little bit, but she was loving on her. Listen, working her life, she needs that. I need that. Listen, we need our faith within our calling to reaching the gospel. John 15:16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you to ordain you that you go bring forth what? Fruit. And that fruit is souls of souls. Listen, I've ordained you to work in Awana so those little boys and girls get saved. I've ordained you to go preach the gospel to soul winning. Listen, people get saved. Listen, I've ordained you, listen, go Bible reading. The thing is, we believe the book, but we don't read the book. The book cleanses. The book changes life. Wherewith shall a man cleanse his way? By what? Taking heed to the Word of God. What stops me from sinning? By reading the Word of God. It brings faithfulness, doesn't it? More I study and start acting on faith and believing what God says. Listen, does this book really keep me from sin? Does it really? This book really, God, does He really answer prayers? Does He really do it? Is this really the Word of God, or we're just showing up? It is the Word of God. He does change lives. He does cleanse. He takes you away and makes you more. Imagine what God could do if you really start believing God. Luke 6:38, if you really believed it. You give. You say, my money? No. You. Get an offering plate. You give yourself to God and see what God can really do with you. You see what God can change your life and reach others. You give. You think you can give your time and God will say, well, I can't give that time back. You work too many hours. I can't pay you back. No. You said, Lord, I can talk to more people than you can give me. You think you can do that? No. You can never outgive God. Listen, Job called it way back then. He says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than the necessary food. He said, this is more invaluable. He woke up and thought about the Word of God is more valuable than anything else. That's what kept Job from cursing God. That's what kept Job going for God. Of all the trials and all that, it ain't the church he went to. It ain't all his mom and daddy's wisdom. It was the Word of God. He valued the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. What did Jesus defeat the devil with? The Word of God. Listen, our faith is increased day by day. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is the man that readeth and that heareth the words of this prophecy and keep those things. I can hear it, I can read it, but if I don't keep it, I don't apply it, it doesn't build, does it? I know soul winning is important, but if I don't go soul winning, it ain't going to do no good. I know giving is important. If I don't give, it don't know the difference. David gave his life. He was willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to fight that giant. I'm willing to do that. And listen, it affected others' life. Faith produces followers. Listen, it produces our finances. Listen, faith produces faithfulness. It changes lives. But also, faith produces fruitfulness. Look at with me at John chapter 15. In the Gospel of John chapter 15, this is where Jesus was coming down from they had the Lord's Supper, and he's leaving, going to Gethsemane. And he's talking with them before he leaves and before the prayer. And he's pouring out. And this is, you really think about it, this is the time he really sharing the last hour. This night is the night where he gets betrayed by Judas. And then he's going to stand before the high priest. And then that next morning he's going to be crucified. But listen, this is what he talks to them about. And he says, I am the true vine and my father's the husbandman. In chapter 15, verse 1. In verse 2 it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking about, hey, you're supposed to bear fruit, and that fruit is souls. To win others, we're born again. It ain't about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. It's talking about the fruit of the Christian. It's like a coconut tree. A coconut tree don't produce bananas. It produces coconuts, don't it? It produces fruit. Listen, we as a Christian, we're supposed to produce Christians. We're supposed to produce people who are sold out, living for God, and gets washed by the blood, and know what Christ did for us. Our job is to sow the seed so people get saved. Verse 3, he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye what? Abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the what? Branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Some fruit? Much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Listen, we got to stay in that vine. Listen, that it produces fruit. If I'm going to abide in the Word of God, and I'm going to be faithful in God, and do obedience to what God wants me to do, and start abiding in it, it's like that branch is connected to that vine, and that sap is like the Holy Spirit of God. And more I'm in with Him and attached to Him, I have the power of God in my life. I have God working in my life. He helps me produce, and if I'm not producing much, He prune me and take some old branches off and makes me produce fruit. He helps me. This is the same God. I am the vine. I am that I am. Exodus chapter 3. I am that I am. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and life. And listen, he says, he's the I am. And Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. If I'm binding to the Almighty God, you think I can produce fruit? Yes, you can, folks, because you're abiding to Almighty God. He works through you. But if I'm not being faithful in the Word of God, I'm not reading my Bible, I'm not praying and begging on God to work in my life and work some things out, how can I produce fruit? That's convicting to me, because I'm telling you what, why souls are not getting saved is because I'm not abiding much as in God I think I should abide. I need to abide more to Him. There's some things that's hindering me and pinching me, and it's unbelief. I believe it's unbelief that's stopping, and I think more we believe in God, God will do more great things. I can prove over and over that unbelief stops, but faith does great and mighty things. All those boys, listen, barefooted boys, 12 of them, all they had faith in God. And they obeyed the Word of God. Those women had more faith than those men during the time of those trials. Because they believed. Folks, faith produces followers. It produces finance. It produces faithfulness. Listen, it produces fruit. It produces the fullness of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "For in him dwelleth all fullness of Godhead bodily." For him, listen, he's the Godhead, the divine nature. We're complete in him. You know, the fullness of God, when I'm inspired, listen, I'm complete in him. I'm in Christ. I got the full Holy Spirit of God within me. It means that I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I have all God. I have all Godhead in me. I mean, I have all power given to me from heaven and earth, from him. What hinders me to be effective for Christ? Me. What's stopping me to do great mighty things for God? I have all the power given to me. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Let the God flow through me. The fullness of God. Listen, it produced fullness. More I surrender to God from faith to faith. Listen, what God has done from David, he fought the lion, he fought the bear, he can fight the giant. What giant stopping you? What giant is stopping you? Unbelief? Self? Pride? Anger? What giant is stopping you trusting God? You tell me you got, I got to be set of sin, I can't overcome it. That's a lie. Unless you're not saved. You have the fullness of God. I promise you, I can sit back and tell you right now that I can sit in, I told my wife, I can't do it. And she said, what do you mean you can't do it? God didn't call you? God didn't tell you to do this? I was like, hush up, woman. But she's right, isn't she? You know what's stopping you? Your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to what? You must believe that he is what? He is God. You must believe that he really is God. He is the Almighty. What's stopping you getting saved? You. What's stopping you from surrendering your life? You. What's stopping you surrendering your whole life to say, God, here am I, I'm willing to follow you? How come souls can't get saved? God is not powerful? Oh, brother, you just don't know her. She's just really a wicked woman. She's just so bad and tough. Really? The woman got full of seven spirits of demons and she got washed. Remember Magdalene? God changed anybody. There's somebody out there crying and says, my son is falling into fire of drugs and destroying their life. And can you help them? Can you help them? You say, oh yeah, God can. No, can you help my boy? Can you help my girl? What's stopping you? Your faith. He can. You just don't believe God will use you. I don't believe God will use me. That's what's stopping us, folks. What's stopping us have a go of $70,000 a year in faith promise? What's stopping us? Is God right? Or are we right? Can you give? Can you give it back? Or is that just a story we tell our kids? Can God save you? Can God change your life? Can God fix your marriage? Can God help your body? And if you don't fix it, Brother Benny, can he help you endure it? Come on. What's stopping us? It produced father. People see a difference in your life. It produced finance. We can do great and mighty things through God. It produces fruit, folks. Why we ain't leading people to Christ is because of unbelief. Woe is me. Tim back there challenged my heart. I said, Tim, you need to do this and this. He said, all right. That's it, all right, yeah, that's it. I mean, he didn't say it like that. That's what I was thinking. That boy's like, okay. Tim, you know, you need to go to Africa and preach the gospel. He'll be like, all right, I'll go. Appreciate you, Tim. It was a heart. He's saying, okay. And I'm being kind of a little funny, but his heart was saying, yes. You need to do this. He said, okay. You need to get baptized? Okay. When God asks me and you to do something, you go, well, but... Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I didn't preach about hellfire and brimstone. I didn't preach about this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. And, you know, there's nothing else but wash away your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't preach about that you're today, if you don't get saved, you're dying, going to a devil's hell. But it's true if you're not saved. It is true that Jesus Christ does wash away sins. And the only way it is salvation is through Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way and the truth and life. The thing is this, you say, preacher, I'm just not sure. I've been a member of this church, or I've been a member of a church, or I've been whatever, and I'm just not sure. I've been dealing with quality. I didn't want to say nothing to nobody about it, preacher. I'm just kind of prideful. But listen, are your pride be willing to die and go to a devil's hell for anybody in this room? Really? And more likely that 99.99 to 100% everybody will be in here saying, please get saved. I was worried about what people think, and people were more joyful that I got saved because they wouldn't want me to live that way. Are you saved? How about, do you need to join a church? You say, God, there's no reason why I shouldn't join this church. God, I haven't been scripturally baptized. I need to get baptized, God. I need to get baptized. What's stopping you from coming and saying, Lord, I need to get baptized, and here am I. How about you're not involved in mission? Say, God, what do you want me to do? How about prayer meetings or soul winnings? Listen, God is working your life. He produces followers, but God wants to work in your life. Are you pleasing Him? Whatever God done spoke to your heart this morning, please react and go forward. As the piano plays, you come.